Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Run to Daylight Football Funcast with your host, Todd Burrows.
Hello?
Hi, Rosalie. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
All right. I don't know why. My microphone wasn't working. And of course, it's the one time I didn't come to the show early. And so.
Oh, you cut out. I got nothing again.
Sorry about that. I think I hit mute on my phone. So, on the scale of utter disaster to just disaster, we're in the middle there somewhere, but I think we can get going. And this show is brought to you by my friends over at the FFPC. The FFPC, home to Dynasty Leagues, Best Ball Leagues, and now a couple that I've already done of the 350 Football Guys Players Championships. You can go on to myffpc.com. There are dynasties, as mentioned, best ball starting at $35, double ups with no rake, where you get a credit. But really, I'm very focused on these Football Guy Championships with a first prize of $500,000. As always, go to myffpc.com to check it out. Rosalie Michaels is our guest today. She's been on before. She is a returning champion. She does work for DraftKings. If you want to know more about what she has done in her past, her modeling, her acting, that was covered in the first podcast. Today we're going to talk about what she's doing currently, and then we are going to do some rookies landing spots, some of her favorite spots right now. Rosalie, welcome to the show. Sorry for the problems.
Oh, that's okay. Technology is sometimes our friend and sometimes our foe, right?
It is so true. It's kind of like mirrors with me, you know? Sometimes I feel like they're not so bad, and then other times, you know, I would just rather stay away. Especially with this quarantine going on, Rosalie, you're pretty much everyone's fantasy girl, as well as being the fantasy girl on Twitter. But how is the image holding up with quarantine life?
It's funny because I actually put on makeup, did my hair, and had jewelry on yesterday for the first time in about like 6 weeks, I think. It's just crazy. I looked at my husband. I go, "Do you recognize me?
Recognize you? I can't get away from you now. No. I mean, even the strongest marriage after 6 weeks, you look at each other and you go, "Oh no." But it's good that you got dressed up. I was going to say, if you got dressed up, I really feel sorry for you. But I'm glad. Now, I know you have children. How many kids do you have, and how are they holding up under the quarantine?
I have two daughters, and they're holding up really, really well. So they're doing great. I always say that if you have a good sense of humor, you can get through really anything. You know, spending a lot of time with the people that you love can be taxing sometimes, but if you have a good sense of humor, then that's going to carry you pretty far.
I agree. I've got a very good sense of humor. It's second to my humility, which is my best quality. But my sense of humor is really being tested. I think I mentioned to you at the last time that my marriage wasn't doing all that well, and I managed to get divorced literally the day before quarantine. And
wow.
we are stuck living together because we can't sell the house. Definitely need all of that sense of humor.
It's funny. I actually heard from somebody else that on Twitter that was in the same situation. But I think that was also it was his ex-wife's new boyfriend that was involved in the situation as well. So I was like, you win the quarantine games. That is for
sure. Oh my gosh.
So
yeah,
you have it. There's always somebody that has it worse.
You just one-upped me and made me feel better at the same time, because I was never the most jealous guy, but I don't know that that's something I'd want to be quarantined with.
Yeah, I think that's a little uncomfortable, right?
I have patience, but, you know, people say, you know, what's it like finishing that situation just on... I just feel like it's, I heard some feedback, and, I just wondered if my mic kicked on. Hello?
Yeah, I got you. I didn't hear the feedback
All right.
on my end, so.
How's that?
You sound good to me.
All right, I had to turn down my computer because all of a sudden it decided to talk to me.
Yeah.
All right, so all the disasters behind, Rosalie, you work with DraftKings. Why don't you tell everyone what you do there and how it went this last year doing it?
So a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, this was my second season with DraftKings. And it's funny, I actually am not allowed to play daily fantasy here in Arizona because our state does not allow for such things. There's about, I think, 6 or 7 states that don't allow for daily fantasy. But, you know, I think that it actually makes me, as an analyst, people trust me a little bit more because they know I'm not setting lineups. I'm not actually competing against them, the listeners and the viewers. So I think it gives them a little bit more trust in what I'm doing. But, you know, it's a great group of people I work with over there. I am the only female analyst that DraftKings has amongst all of the sports because with DraftKings, you know, you can set lineups for pretty much every sport, including golf. And so I'm the only female that they have, and so it's an honor to be there as a woman in this industry and to represent. And you know what? The guys over there are just fantastic. They really know their stuff. They help me to up my game. I help them to up their game, which is really what this all is supposed to be about. People get into, as analysts, they get into these competitions as I'm better than you are at this. And we all know it's with fantasy, it's educated guesses, right? We take all the information that we have and we really try to put that all together to give ourselves the best odds at winning. So they're great and I love it. And so, yeah, they asked me about 2 years ago to come on. And so the first year I did quite a bit, but this past year I was on really almost every day with DraftKings on their show, The Sweat. And we have a great time. There's a lot of fun people that work there. And, it's just fantastic. And they're just getting bigger and better. And the show is really, really taking off.
Yep. They just went public as well. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot more out of DraftKings. I am a big DraftKings player, especially for the NFL. I mean, I'm not as big as some, But I'll play about $800 a week, $1,000 a week on NFL weeks. And that's a, you know, for an average guy, that's a good bit. I won a lot 2 years ago. Last year, not as much. But, you know, when you're, you know, when you're trying to get a top five finish and you get close three or four times, if you don't get to the top five, like me last year, my top five finishes were top 10 to 15 instead. And that's a big, big difference. But it, you know, chasing that rainbow is part of the fun. So we'll look forward to you getting back on that. So were you doing other sports other than football? It sounds like from what you said you were.
No, I really was doing only football. They keep asking me, they're like, hey, you want to do NBA? And I'll be honest with you, NFL is the love of my life. So I don't think
I'm sure your husband will be glad to hear that.
He knows.
Hey, look, you know, as long as you agree and everything's in order and everyone's okay with it, I could think of worse people to be in a three-way relationship with than the NFL.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny because everybody says when they meet me and they talk to me, they're like, your husband must love that you're so into football. And the honest answer is he really doesn't love it. He's not a big sports guy. He loves camping. He loves motorcycles. He's definitely a dude, but he would rather I go camping with him on Sundays during football season, and I can't. So he has actually set up, he's got listed in his camp notes of where we go camping, which will receive HD signals, and he'll bring the TV out for me, pour me a mimosa, and let me watch football out in the woods. So that's how we make it work.
You know what? That sounds good. You know, and I think, you know, some it's a little bit, and it's kind of a 2020s problem to have. But women in general have had to deal with men being, you know, football crazy for generations now and had to find other things to do on a Sunday. So I kind of like the role reversal here.
He's not a football widow. He's a football widower, right? So he knows. And in fact, we have a big trip coming up for my birthday, but my birthday's at the end of October and I can't do it. We're going to Europe and I'm like, I can't do it during my birthday. We have to do it in April. So
trip. What day?
October 27th is my birthday.
Guess what my birthday is?
October 26th?
October 27th.
Wow, we have the same birthday. Look at that.
That's
amazing.
Crazy.
See, that's why we get
that
along
is crazy.
So well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's a few years difference. I'm pushing closer to the 50s than the 70s. We digress. And I always take a lot of pride in that I'm able to get information out of guests that is really unusual and different. And finding out we had the same birthday is not the information I expected to get, but that's pretty cool. We share that day with Teddy Roosevelt, for anyone who is a fan of presidents.
Yep. And also Bono from U2.
No.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that one. And they're one of my favorite bands. I mean.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I got three bands that were artists that are in my top three, and I could never decide which is one, two, and three. But Springsteen, U2, and Van Morrison, and to find out one of them has my birthday is kind of actually meaningless, but cool.
Yeah, hey, it is, but very cool. You know, it means you're in good company. And now Rosalie Michaels, the fantasy girl, you know that we have the same birthday.
Unbelievable. I will never enjoy a birthday again without thinking of you. Let's move on to football. You know, this is one of the most unusual drafts we've ever had. I kind of liked it. I really did. I thought that ESPN did a very good job, although how Booger got on there, I don't know. But you know, I didn't hate it. It was different, but I thought it was kind of cool. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I think if you talk to most people, they really did like this format a lot, to be able to get into the home, to see the player with the people that they love most, as opposed to, you know, being in a location, to see the war rooms, you know, all over the place. You know, I mean, it's great to see the difference in Bill Belichick's war room, and then you look at Cliff Kingsbury's war room too. Like, you know, you look at the old school and the new school, right? And Belichick just looking like he's in your mom's kitchen, right? He doesn't, it's nothing impressive. It's nothing exciting. The dog was the best part of it.
He was picking dogs.
What?
Clearly just there to pick dogs.
Yeah, you know what? That's what you do, right? You can't really argue with Belichick, whatever his process is. You can't argue with it because he's been so successful, right? So I don't mind that at all. But, yeah, did you see Kingsbury's beautiful, beautiful setup here in Arizona?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah. It was like right out of a magazine. And what was really shocking to me, how bad all these rich people's, you know, houses were.
Either that or they just
didn't want to show off the good stuff. But, you know, most of those rooms were really pedestrian. And the other thing that really stood out is how bad technologically were most of them.
Yeah, it's not their forte, right? But I'm surprised. Being in being in the entertainment industry, being on camera for really all of my adult life. My husband is also on camera, and he hosts a show called Right This Minute. It's a viral video show that's nationwide, and they've been filming through the Zoom platform during this quarantine, and so they've got a whole studio set up here in my house for Right This Minute. Which is not the NFL, right? You think of the NFL and what a big, big organization the NFL is, and a successful and an organization that has a lot of dollars behind it. And yet some of these setups just look so bad. The lighting's off, the angle's off. It's, how did that happen? And so you see the cheerleaders coming on, and they've got better setups because we women, we know how to light ourselves.
That, you know what? That, there's no doubt about that.
I
do podcasts because I have a face made for radio. But if I was someone who was just kidding. It really was crazy. I mean, Bruce Arians was one of the better looking guys due to lighting, and we know that's not reality.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay. I live in Arizona. I know BA pretty well. He's not a great looking guy, but he's adorable. I'll take me some BA any day.
He's got the teddy bear thing going for him.
He does. He does. He's fantastic. So, but you know, I'll say, I think that we have a joke here in Arizona that you know, a Scottsdale 4 is a Midwest 10. So the aesthetics here in Arizona, there's a high bar that you have to set there. And so, BA, must have rubbed off on him when he was here.
Yeah, it's similar in California. You know, I was a sales rep in the luggage business for a long time. And my first trip out when I worked for a company in the 90s out of Half Moon Bay, California, you know, most luggage stores in the East Coast were just crap. Everything thrown everywhere, you know, people bought based on price and presentation. There really weren't any nice looking luggage stores. And even when I was just so shocked when I went to California, you know, it was like every restaurant looked like they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in the restaurant look a certain way. And luggage stores were the same way. I just think that the West Coast, the aesthetic is much more part of the process than the East Coast, where things tend to be price and transactionally based more than looks. Now, that's changed some over the last 10 years with the revitalization of the New York shopping areas. But previous to that, it really was a stark difference.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I spent a lot of time on the East Coast before I moved to Arizona, so I'd agree with that completely.
All right, so we were talking about Bruce Arians, and last year all of us were dying to put a different running back into the Tampa Bay team. I think we all rightly knew that Peyton Barber was a pedestrian back, and
yep.
Ronald Jones had his issues. Ronald Jones now, it seems like everyone is very, very excited about Mr. Vaughn in Tampa Bay. I wanted to get your take on that situation. Do you think he becomes one of the top fantasy running backs, or do you think that it's going to be a committee with him and Ronald Jones?
Yeah, I don't. Here's what I know. Looking at what VA does in terms of his running back situation, he does want that workhorse back. He wants somebody that can do it all, can be the pass-catching back, can be that solid runner that can bust through lines just like David Johnson was for him. So I think that he certainly could be that. But I think that VA is really going to focus more so on this wide receiver crew. He's got Gronk there now. He's got Tom Brady. He feels a little bit more comfortable. If he wasn't going to run the ball more last year with Jameis, where he really needed to run the ball more because Jameis makes so many mistakes, right? He won't do it this year. I think Vaughn's going to be a decent option. I think that they're still going to have Rojo in there a little bit. You know, Rojo was 26th overall in fantasy scoring for running backs last year. Not great, not terrible. Not bad as a little flex position. But if you look at, they did run the ball. They were 13th in terms of rush attempts. So they could up that a little bit more, but the efficiency just wasn't there. They were 24th in rushing yards and then 16th in rushing touchdowns. So I like Vaughn. I think he's going to be one of those that maybe second to third tier options as far as the running back position is considered. But I think they're really going to throw the ball a good amount just because of the wide receivers they have there are so fantastic. You know, the top two we already know about. And I really do like Tyler Johnson as kind of a little sneaky play this year. He's the wide receiver 4 right now behind Justin Watson, but Justin Watson was not that effective last year. So I think that we'll see some Tyler Johnson in there and could be a great bye week filler given the amount that Tampa Bay does throw the ball.
Yeah, my take on the situation first at running back is that they ran more last year because they didn't trust Jameis, right? And with Tom Brady there, I think you're going to see a more traditional Bruce Arians mix, probably somewhere around 40 to 43% run, 50-plus percent pass. I think Chris Godwin is that slot guy. But you know what? If Tyler Johnson has that quick area cutting ability that Wes Welker and Julian Edelman had, Bruce mm-hmm. is smart enough to adjust the team to take advantage of that. I don't think Ronald Jones is going to go away. And I think as we talk about all these rookies, one thing we have to consider is the fact that these rookies aren't going to have a normal camp and a normal offseason to get ready. And if you can't block, you're not going to play.
Yeah, that's a huge point. It's going to be interesting what this offseason programs look like. Given the situation, you know, it's going to be a lot of virtual stuff. And that doesn't translate until you're on the field, right? You know, are you going to understand the playbooks quickly? But until you get on the field and you're playing together, it just doesn't translate the way that that you would hope. So, yeah, I think there is going to be a bigger learning curve for these rookies as opposed to any other year. Plus, you know, if we think, too, that this very possibly could be something where there's no crowd at these games. That makes a difference in the way people play as well.
Yeah, I think that that's a very fair point. I saw that you were on Jonathan Taylor on Twitter. Why don't you explain your thoughts on Mr. Taylor?
Jonathan Taylor, I really do wish he went to a situation where there wasn't another back in his way, because he really is, he's that type of guy that I love. He's big, he's fast, you know, he is very, very efficient in what he does. You know, when you compare him, he's compared to Saquon Barkley and LaDainian Tomlinson. Those are great comparisons, right? So this is the type of guy that you want. And he was also used as a pass catcher in college, so he can do that. He's a very efficient pass catcher. He had 5 touchdown passes last season. And then when you look at the fact that he's in Indianapolis, he's going to be the RB1 with Max right behind him, but they're saying that there's going to be a 1-2 punch for both of them. The Colts, before last year, Reich said he wanted to be a top-5 rushing team. He achieved that. They were 5th in terms of rushing yards. They were 4th in terms of rush attempts and 11th in terms of rushing touchdowns. So this is a great opportunity for Jonathan Taylor. I think it is going to be – we have to watch and see that it's probably going to be a split in the beginning. I think when we get closer to the end of the season, we're going to see him take over more and more, because I like Marlon Mack, but he's not quite as efficient as we like him to be. Even behind that pretty decent Indianapolis offensive line. So, he's effective, he's big, he's fast. He's the type of running back that I target all the time. And if he can get that workhorse back, which I think he will take over as the workhorse back there in Indy, they've got Phillip Rivers now. Phillip Rivers has had a history of having these great running backs that can do it all. So he's used to that. So I think that that's going to be a great situation. I think the Colts are going to be a much better team this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Phillip Rivers didn't have a good year last year. He's clearly on the decline, but he's going to a coach who knows how to get the most. He situationally plans each week, and some weeks it's going to be a running week, other weeks it's going to be a passing week. But one thing is for sure, he's an upgrade on Jacoby Brissett. And, to me, Jonathan Taylor couldn't have gotten to a better landing spot long-term with that offensive line. I agree that I think that situation, I'm going to say it's going to be sick. By the time the year's over, it'll be 65-35 on carries between Taylor and Mack. I don't think either of them are going to catch a lot of passes, because I think they'll bring Nyheim Hines in on third down. But I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be your touchdown guy, and he's going to be the one to own. And I think ADP right now is pretty efficient on both, where Taylor's going in the 3rd round and Mack is going in the 7th. If I was forced to pick one of them right now, it would be Taylor. And in a lot of these situations, I'm taking the later guy. The big one for me is Damian Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I really like Helaire, and I think what happens, though, is people get so excited when they take someone early. But if you remember Rashad Penny a few years ago, if you can't pass protect and there's another back there who they trust, and they do trust Damian Williams, I'm buying Damian Williams in the 7th round over Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the 2nd or 3rd. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I've been having some Twitter conversations with people. I'm like, you go ahead. You take him early. Great. I mean, I've talked to people that are like, they're going to take CEH before Keenan Allen, before Cooper Kupp, before some of these. And I'm like, why are you doing that? I understand. I think he's getting a lot of hype because he went in the 1st round. But you're right. He's not going to be the goal line back. He's too small. They've got Damian Williams for that. They do trust Damian Williams. I think that they like the kid, but they're not going to – it's still going to be a huge timeshare back there. And then when you look at the fact that KC, last year they were scoring in the league, but they were 27th in rush attempts, 22nd in – rushing yards. Now, they were eighth in rushing touchdowns, but number one, some of that goes to Mahomes. And number two, that's Damian Williams. That's not going to be CEH. So his fantasy numbers are just not going to be there. I think he's really overrated, and I'm very willing to let other people take him. Somebody was saying, what do you see the comparisons with Kareem Hunt? No, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I think he's going to be a big bust. And, when we talk about, we like Jonathan Taylor. I like him for both this year, and I like him for Dynasty as well. I think that he is going to be a great talent in second, third year. He's going to do great. With Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't see it.
See, I'll disagree with you there. I do like the player. I think he brings certain things that are going to fit really great in that offense. I just don't know that, the assumption that's out there for year one is correct. And I'm buying a lot of Damian Williams. I had a good bit of Damian Williams in the fourth, fifth round, where I thought he was too cheap on the fear that they would bring someone in. But now to be able to balance that with seventh and sometimes eighth round shares, to me, that's a no-brainer. And to build on your point a little bit, I think that last year, what happened? Damian Williams got hurt, and nobody behind him was nearly as talented. So that
as
assumption
effective,
that they drafted him for this year, when you've got Pat Mahomes back there, you're going to have a short off season. I think that, my feeling is it's going to be two-thirds, one-third Damian early in the season, going to have to earn more playing time. And short of an injury, I just don't know how much more he'll earn. So that's my take on that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at him, though, he's just – the only area where he was really productive in college was as a receiver. And when he did get the ball, you look at what LSU did with him, and throughout, even when he was a junior where he had more action, right, they still gave 140 carries to the freshman running backs. That doesn't speak a lot to trust at that level to me. And then if you look at he ran a slow 40. He's not that fast. He's light, but not that fast. So
he's quick and elusive more than he's fast.
Yeah, but I just don't see him. That's not the the KC running back game. They need those running backs that are more smash mouth, right? That are gonna bust through the line, that are going to, because if they want quick and elusive, they've got Mahomes for that. So that's all they need with that. They don't need the quick elusive back the way they need the smash mouth back.
Another situation, Rosalie, that I am very happy to take the incumbent over the rookie. Again, you're getting the rookie in the late third round, early fourth round, and you're getting the incumbent in the seventh, eighth round is Detroit. On tape, I really love DeAndre Swift's receiving ability, but I think Kerryon is the better runner, and I think people were already predisposed to be down on Kerryon. And I think this is going to be more of a true 50-50 split. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are it's the Detroit backfield, and it's just it's tough. It's just trusting any Detroit running back. It's just hard for me under Matt Patricia's offense. Detroit is, especially with Stafford back, they're really going to lean more heavily on their passing game. They were 15th in terms of rush attempts last year, so not bad in the opportunity phase. Kerryon, the thing that Swift has going for him is the fact that Kerryon doesn't play a lot of games, right? He only played 8 games last season. And the most fantasy points he had was 14.8, the least amount, 2.3. He just hasn't been the type of guy that we need out of him because of injury and just because of efficiency. So could Swift have some opportunity? He could. But here's what doesn't happen in Detroit. Rushing touchdowns. Rushing touchdowns don't happen there. They're 29th in terms of rushing touchdowns. So it's not something that we're going to look at. They're 21st in terms of rushing yards. So as far as fantasy numbers for Swift are concerned, even if he does really take over as that RB1, it's not a great situation. I would have liked him better somewhere else. You know, he was rated as the fourth best back in the draft. And when you look at his workload in college, you know, he had to compete with Chubb and Sony Michel. So he had a lot of competition around him. And when he does get the ball, he's pretty effective with it. So, but I don't think he's that special talent that's really going to make things change in terms of the system up there in Detroit. I think there's still going to be a heavily passing type of offense because that's where they're effective. And with Stafford back, they're going to be more effective. They were 10th, you know, last year in terms of passing. So I think the opportunity is just not going to be there for him.
I agree with a lot of that. I think that I think a nicer way of saying what you're saying is I don't see a league winner coming out of that situation, but
yeah.
I do think that you can have a good, solid, you know, and that's why I like Kerryon. I took him yesterday in an FBG draft in, I think it was the 8th round, which, you know, is really good. In other words, I don't need him to win me the league in the 8th round. I need, you know, he's my third or fourth running back, and if I have an injury or a bye week, he's the guy who can get me 15 points. Maybe not every week, but he certainly can do it on enough weeks.
Well, remember what I just told you, though. His highest game last year, 14.8. That was his highest game last year. So
he was
had
hurt.
I
know he's always been hurt, but it's only been 2 years. And
yeah.
I get what you're saying, but I still see a talented back there. And you're right, he hasn't maximized it in two very injury-prone years. But, you know, one of the things that I build my fantasy career on is I take chances on guys who are talented. And, you know, sometimes you have to see what hasn't happened yet. And sometimes it's never going to happen. But after two injury-prone years, it's just hard to say to me that he can't pay off an eighth-round draft spot. And let me see where I got him.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Got him.
I mean, obviously, if you can get a guy like that on the cheap, yeah, why wouldn't you, right?
Right, and that is the thought, right? The thought is that, and I'm still pulling up this stupid draft board. All right, yeah, I got him at 8. I had the 6th pick, so I guess that's 8-7. Midway through the 8th round, to me, that is fabulous value. He was my 4th running back. I got Kamara, Le'Veon Bell, and Keyshawn Vaughn. And I followed up with Alexander Mattison and Justin Jackson and Lynn Bowden in that 20 out of 20 rounds. So, you know, he fits a role on that team, and we'll see what happens with it. Let's go to another situation that I would love your take on, and it's the Miami Dolphins. Matt Breida, Jordan Howard. Everyone loves to hate Jordan Howard. But the coaches continue to give him the ball. What do you think about there?
Yeah, I'm not sure why people hate Jordan Howard so much. I love him. I love the guy. I think he's fantastic. He was very effective with Chicago when they were using him correctly, right? So I like Jordan Howard. Here's the problem with Miami and the Miami running backs is I'm not going to trust Flores to run the ball any more than he did last year just because he has Jordan Howard. He didn't do it with Kenyon Drake, right? And then Drake came to Arizona and busted out. They are a passing team in Miami. They were 32nd in terms of rush attempts last year, 32nd in terms of rushing yards last year. So, you know, they're picking up some great talents in both Jordan Howard and Matt Breida, but I'll argue that Kenyon Drake, also a great talent and just wasted. Devontae Parker and that receiving core, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he flings the ball a lot, and he's still going to be the QB1 there until they move to an end. So I'm just not trusting that backfield at all. I mean, again, if that's one of those situations, if I can get Jordan Howard, you know, really, really cheap, then yeah, I'm going to take him. He's the RB1 down there, but he's probably not going to be the pass catching back. That's probably going to be Breda. So there's going to be an absolute timeshare down there. I just, Miami running backs, they are great when they go somewhere else. That's when they become great. They do a nice little internship down there. It can revive their careers a little bit, but there's just not going to be enough opportunity for me there.
Let's take that segue and run with it. I saw Kenyon Drake in the Genesis draft, which is kind of an expert's draft that kicks off the FBG season on the FFPs. Kenyon Drake at 1-6, and the pick was universally panned. I didn't pan it because it's not one that I would do, because last year I took a load of crap in a very big draft. I took Derrick Henry at 2-2, and everyone killed me for it. I almost won the league. You know, basically my feeling is I'm a tier drafter, and when you've got, you know, six or seven people in a tier, often they're going to finish very close to one another. So if you really like a guy, go get your guy. And to me, once you get past Barkley and CMC, there, you know, and some people could argue Zeke, there's nobody out of that next 10 to 15 running backs that jumps off for me. But in general, Kenyon Drake looked amazing. He finally got his chance. He fits perfectly what they're doing in Arizona. Are you as high on him that early in drafts, being from Arizona yourself?
You know, I don't know if I'd be that high on him. I don't blame anybody for going that direction, because the Cardinals, with Kingsbury coming in, they definitely improved all of their offense, right? Now they've got DeAndre Hopkins. They've got, you know, Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. There's going to be a nice amount of threat deep there, which is just going to open up the situation for Kenyon Drake. He will have some competition there from Chase Edmonds. They do really like Chase quite a bit, too, as long as Chase can stay healthy. You know, and you look at, even though they were only 19th in terms of rush attempts last year, they were still 10th in terms of rushing yards and 10th in terms of rushing touchdowns. So he holds a lot of value. I don't know that I'd take him at 1-6, but like you, I'm not going to blame anybody for doing that. I was hugely high on Derrick Henry last year. I would have taken him at 2-2 as well. So I don't blame you at all there. He was one of my favorite running backs going into the season last year. I'm still waiting to see what the strength of season is going to look before I really start making my final, you know, kind of tiers and final evaluations of who I'm targeting. But yeah, I don't blame the Kenyon Drake at all. He can do it all. And this offense is going to be that much better. They're going to compete. They're going to compete this year. They're going to be better on defense. They have to be better on defense. They were terrible last year, right? So they're going to be better on defense. So I look for some good things out of this Arizona offense this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the prices have caught up with the opportunity, which wasn't the case this time last year.
Correct.
I agree. You know, to me, people really don't realize just how many points that offense can show. And I don't think they ever truly opened it up last year, because Kyler was a rookie, because the offensive line wasn't good, and because they really didn't have that go-to receiver. A lot of people are talking about Hopkins. I don't know about Hopkins. I don't know. You know, the one thing the Cardinals really struggled with last year was the red zone, and I think that both Drake and Hopkins, and hopefully a little bit better of an offensive line, I think that you're going to see a lot more touchdowns and a lot less field goals this year out of the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And when you think, too, I mean, they've got fast guys and they've got big guys. Let's not forget, Hakeem Butler comes back this year from the injury that he sustained last year. He didn't even get to play last year. So if we can get DeAndre Hopkins and Hakeem Butler, too, you know, really great, go up and get the balls. And Kyler is so efficient. People forget that he is a very, very capable at throwing the ball and being why can't I think of the word? He lasers that ball. So he is very, very capable as a thrower. Everybody thinks about him as the runner, right? But he is consistent in hitting his mark. So I am very excited. I think it's going to be, they were 17th in terms of points per game last year. I think that comes way up this year into the top 10.
Yep, and I think a lot of that was having to settle for so many field goals.
Yep.
The other, so let's finish up with this. I know you wanted to talk about some of your favorite sleepers at the running back position. Why don't you share with us a couple of those players and why?
Well, my sleeper, my real sleeper here, and I'm surprised that there's not more people talking about him, just because, you know, again, we talk about who landed in the right spot, who's going to get the opportunity, who's got the talent to take advantage of that. And so a lot of people are not talking about Cam Akers on the Rams. So, you know, he's going to be the RB1. He's got Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson behind him, both of which really didn't amount to much behind Todd Gurley last year. Everybody was concerned about Gurley's injury last year, and the Rams were as well. Now they've got a rookie coming in that is effective. You know, Rams, yeah, they were not they didn't run the ball as much as we expected them to. They were 28th in terms of rush attempts, 26th in terms of rushing yards, but they were third in rushing touchdowns. So Akers has a real opportunity. You're going to get him on the cheap. He had a heavy workload in college, and so you really do have an idea of what he can do. So he wasn't so effective in terms of yards per carry, but you want to compare him to somebody. He compares very well to Swift. They had similar combines, but Akers is 5 pounds heavier and ran the 40-yard dash 1/100th of a second faster than Swift. So I think he's going to be that goal line back. And the Rams love to hammer their running backs in that situation. And so I think we're going to see a good amount of him on the goal line. And so he could be a great flex position for you.
That's a great call. Rosalie Michaels, at Rosalie Michaels on Twitter, The Fantasy Girl. Rosalie, I really appreciate that you've been willing to come on my podcast, and good luck with getting through the rest of quarantine.
Yeah, you guys too, you know, especially to you, you know, your situation out there. So, but yeah, love it. Love talking to you as usual. Make sure that you catch me on DraftKings this season. And I have a podcast as well, so I'd love to have you come on to mine this season. Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have some good time.
All right, what's the name of your podcast?
It's the Fantasy Football Girl Podcast. So I'll be definitely promoting it on Twitter as soon as we launched it last year. We had some good traction on it, and this year we're looking to amplify it a little bit more. It's great. It's a guy I co-host it with is Rick Stark, and he does an auction draft each year. And so I go out there for the auction draft. I'm his ringer. And that was the guy I kept telling him, take Derrick Henry. And he wanted Devontae Freeman instead. So he didn't listen to me on that, and he lost the championship game because of it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would listen to you, Rosalie. You know exactly what you're talking about. You put in the hard work. You pull out the stats. My old age showing, I hope I'm not offensive, but you're more than a pretty face, and you really do the work. And I know that your podcast is going to do great. Check her out on DraftKings. Check her out on Twitter at Rosalie Michaels. And thank you so much for coming on again.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. That's going to do it for the latest installment of the truncated upset in the beginning Run to Daylight program. But thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.